is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness, joins me, and we're very pleased to welcome Malcolm Hoenlein, who has an enormous amount of news about bad actors and unclear relations in the Middle East. Everything's upside down. So we begin with Iran. Thaddeus, you have a question for Malcolm.
Yes, Malcolm, Iran is making some moves in the region. They're interfacing with Communist China, with Russia. They're even dealing with the IAEA, and there's even talk of a prisoner exchange. Can you help us make sense of all this?
I will try. It is not easy. So good evening to both of you. And it's a very complicated situation. So I'll try and break them down into what we know and what is being speculated about in terms of the agreement. Iran and Saudi Arabia announced in the presence of China that they had come to an understanding that in 2 months their foreign ministers will meet and hammer out the details, and then the meeting thereafter reopen the embassies that the two countries had. And this is essentially a renewal of an agreement that existed between the countries before. And they've been working for 2 years towards a detente with intermediaries like Iraq and Oman. China just entered the picture late, and after a lot of the terms had been agreed upon by the parties, but they allowed Beijing to take the credit. And they are, of course, the biggest buyer of oil from Saudi Arabia and Iran. So they will reopen the embassies. This is not new embassies, but reopen and try to diminish the antagonism, saying they won't interfere in each other's domestic concerns or situations. But we're not expecting this to massively change the situation on the ground. Saudi Arabia knows what Iran's objectives are. And whatever, you know, dressing they put on that pig, it's not going to change. They know the danger that Iran's nuclear program, but it's the progress that they have made. And the fact that all of them are pointing to that we heard in the Gulf ourselves when we were there and from the Saudis now is the perception that the U.S. is pulling out of the region, is not committed to it, is much more focused on China and Asia. And therefore, there's a sense that there is a lacuna there. So the lapsed security cooperation agreement will now be renewed. Iran's President Raisi visited Beijing, and President Xi, you remember, visited Riyadh in December. So all of this was in preparation for this development. But we know now that China is becoming more and more important a player in the region. We know that there are issues that both sides need to resolve. Iran's major goal, I think, was to get the Saudi television, Iran Television Network, it's called, to stop broadcasting because it had a lot of influence in the country. Saudi Arabia supports the MKO and other groups that are considered hostile groups, the Kurdistan Democratic Party and other groups in Kurdish areas, Arab groups as well in Iran. So they're going to try and reduce those, get them to reduce those involvements. I'm not sure that that's really possible. So I think we're only seeing the beginnings of this arrangement. We have to see now what will happen with the Yemen. How will Iran roll in the Houthis more not to attack Saudi Arabia, and the what this will do in terms of relationship, potential relationship with Israel and the existing relationship with the United States.
I appreciate, Malcolm, there is depths here with China, but Russia, Malcolm, Russia is attacking NATO. What about Iran and Russia? There have been teasing remarks about exchange of weapons, about drone manufacturing in Russia from Tehran. What can you tell us about this relationship? Does it suit China's purposes that while it makes peace, Russia makes war?
So Russia is in a very difficult position, as we've discussed many times, and Iran has become a major channel for it. One is that we know that huge quantities of weapons were taken, of ammunition and as such, were taken from Iran to the Ukrainian front. And this is acknowledged. The ships have been followed, and it's not a secret that they are doing it. What is more secretive is that Russia, it seems, is taking the captured weapons from NATO and the United States that they captured in Ukraine and are sending them back to Iran to be reverse engineered and to make their own versions of these weapons, including the Javelin anti-tank and the Stinger anti-aircraft system. Iran is buying Sukhoi 35 fighter jets from Russia. We have alluded to this for a long time, but it seems that the deal is being signed and that Iran actually has activated its air defense system in Syria, and that they're talking about selling surface-to-air defense to Syria for them to man on their own. An airstrike took place in western Syria just in the last day, which destroyed an Iranian militia's main weapons depot. And we know that they have been using the cover of the humanitarian shipments to Syria to export even greater amounts. So, yes, Russia is playing a very important role here, but it's mostly to reinforce their own position in the war with in Ukraine.
The IAEA, Thaddeus asked about it. The last time we talked about this, Malcolm, there is evidence, the IAEA has brought it forth, that Iran has enriched uranium to 83.7, which our colleague Andrea Stricker says, that's the bomb right there. You don't need 90. You can make a bomb out of that. What do we know about that 83.7% enrichment, and what is Russia's part in this, if any?
So Russia is playing an important role, and maybe even more important, in the fact that they supposedly reached a secret deal to resupply the enriched uranium that they are under contract from in the JCPOA deal, being paid to take the enriched uranium that is beyond the allowed amount from Iran and to store it. Now we learned that they are sending it back to Iran as part of the deal with over the drones factory, et cetera, stuff that they are getting from Iran. And Iran is trying to avoid censure for the latest nuclear steps. They don't deny the 83%. They're saying they're enriching up to 60%, which is 20 times what they're supposed to do. But they're saying the 83% was just an offshoot. It was, something that spun off because of the in the production process. We know that they are enriching and putting in more and more advanced systems. They are making concrete commitments, supposedly, to Grassi, who came out very mealy-mouthed out of his discussions this time, having gone in there pledging to take a strong stand. And all the evidence is that he came back from this two-day visit with very little to show for it, but he's saying that he got their cooperation and it'll be a test. In the meantime, they just keep moving ahead. What was disturbing also is we saw the visit of the UN Secretary General in Iraq, where he met the Iranian-backed militias who are sanctioned by the United States, and there are pictures of him standing there smiling. Grassi, said that it's not true that he didn't get any commitments. He met with Raisi. He said that there will be more inspections and that they're going to allow the cameras to be reactivated. And we know that they have promised this over and over again and haven't lived up to the promise. So I think the changes at Fordo, which are really significant, and that they have put in cascades of the IR-6s, which means that they can anytime, no matter what they export, they at any time can replenish that stock. And they did it without declaring it to the IAEA.
That is?
Malcolm, what's this talk of a prisoner exchange?
So there have been negotiations going on for a long time between the United States and Tehran through intermediaries and directly to a prisoner exchange, which would release Americans being held in Tehran. Tehran is demanding the release of billions of dollars being held, particularly by South Korea. And there are reports in Iran that $500 million has already been paid. Now, there, of course, some of the administration are denying that any deal has been reached, but that the discussions are going on is clear. The Iranians say that there is a deal. The U.S. says there isn't a deal. And the price that we're going to pay if this money is released, I can tell you that the sources in Iran, the dissidents and others, say that it'll be a repeat of the mistake of in the Obama years when they did the JCPOA and brought platelets of money and cash to the Iranians. This is exactly what they need to reinforce their external aggression, which is spreading throughout the world. We see it, and we've talked about it in Latin America. We've talked about the threats to the United States. We never even talked about the mapping project and other things where they're actually threatening us on our own soil. So we have a potential of this becoming a prelude to America again providing relief to the Iranian regime.
Politics, Malcolm. There is a three-way conversation reported between Saudi Arabia, MBS, Israel, Mr. Netanyahu, and the United States of America, Joe Biden. What for what? And the politics of this have to be difficult in the Senate. Please explain.
Well, it is difficult in the Senate, as you rightly point out, because there are a lot of members who want us to diminish our support for Saudi Arabia. I think that's a big mistake. A lot of what we're seeing, both in the UAE and in Saudi Arabia, as well as others, is the perception that the U.S. is withdrawing, that it's not a reliable ally, that attacks took place and we didn't respond, that, you know, we're not there. In fact, the United States has tried, and CENTCOM has certainly had a greater presence. A B-52 flew again with Israeli aircraft and the UAE aircraft accompanying it in the Gulf. There have been repeated messages. But the overall impression is that we have shifted our priorities. And so for Saudi Arabia, they want certain things, as we outlined before. But most of all, they want to know what's going to happen. If they're in danger, are they going to be left there alone? And therefore, they get us an insurance policy with Iran by having these discussions. Meantime, they continue to discuss with Israel, although they kept the foreign minister of Israel, didn't give him permission to attend the UN World Tourism Conference. He was not on the original manifesto of people to come, so they have cover for not doing it. I don't believe that it's a permanent diminution in their commitment to wanting to reach an agreement. They set the terms to the United States, including they want a nuclear, a civilian nuclear program, and they want the restrictions on arms sales removed or lessened, something, as you point out, the Congress is not likely to support easily. So there are many negotiations and discussions going on in multiple realms between U.S., China, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Israel, and there's a lack of clarity about where this is all going to go, and especially the time when Saudi Arabia and the UAE seem to be at odds on many issues, particularly about Yemen. This is a time when we need everybody on board and sort of moving in the right direction, and that is not happening.
Malcolm, let me clarify this if I can. Saudi Arabia will recognize Israel, and it will get in exchange for that what? What concrete will Saudi Arabia get?
That America will help on their civilian nuclear program and lessen the conditions on arms sales to Saudi Arabia.
Lessen the conditions. That means Saudi Arabia is arming the more. What does that mean? F-35s, F-16s, nuclear weapons? Do we have clarity there?
Well, they're not asking for nuclear weapons. They want a domestic a civilian nuclear program. They can always buy the nuclear weapon. Remember, they were involved in the Pakistan program. We know for years that they help support it. So the assumption is that they can always buy what they want. What they're asking here is to be able to create the infrastructure. They know they want to wean themselves off the oil dependency, and so having a domestic nuclear program would help in that regard. The weapon sales, they feel humiliated by the restrictions and the treatment that they've often gotten. And as you know, there are many people who oppose and want to impose conditions on the relationship. So
those people include major senators in the Democratic Party, correct? Major senators.
I think there are major senators who are involved who have expressed these reservations rather publicly.
And so what we're looking at is a three-way deal that is not close to taking effect. Is that correct, Malcolm? It's a proposal.
Yeah, there's no three-way deal now on the table. I think that whatever happens and it depends on the United States accepting the conditions that Saudi Arabia has put forward. I think this is sending bad messages. We should not overreact, though, to what the significance is, because we know that they've been working on this for a long time. Opening embassies is not really going to alter the risk of conflict between the two between Saudi Arabia and Iran, because there are fundamental challenges that underline that that conflict.
Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. The cup runneth over. Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. The Dusty One next. I'm John Bachelor.